Hey everyone, it's Lisa from the blog farmhouseonboone.com, and today I have a very special video planned for you.
My name is Lisa, mom of six and creator of the blog and YouTube channel Farmhouse on Boone. Join me as I share with you my love for creating a handmade home from scratch cooking and a little mom and entrepreneur life along the way.
I am so excited to share with you the birth story of our seventh child, our fifth son in a row. So we had two girls and then five boys. We didn't find out the gender on this little one. We actually didn't find out the gender on any of our five boys. And so every time I don't find out, it's a boy, which is very surprising to me. But I'm just gonna dive right into the birth story of this little guy. I have replayed this in my head so many times. He'll be 3 days old tonight at 10 o'clock. So this is day three of postpartum. I really wanted to get this recorded before I forget any details. But I don't know if you do this, if you're a mom, but usually after a birth, I do that. I replay it in my head and kind of, you know, the day usually is a blur. And so you're putting together any little details that you might have forgotten and piecing it together with a clear mind that isn't in labor. So Monday I went in for a midwife appointment. I had one more plan after this. So I would have been on Monday 39 weeks and 4 days. And it was just really normal midwife appointment. I brought my two youngest boys with me. They checked my blood pressure. They checked just the fundal height. They actually said I measured 40 weeks, which was weird because I always measure so behind no matter what size the baby is. So I was really surprised that I was actually measuring on time, if not a little bit ahead. Anyways, obviously that doesn't matter at all. I fully planned to make it to 40 weeks. I have never gone into labor. This is my seventh child before 40 weeks. So I was not looking to go into labor anytime, well, soon obviously, but not like that day. And I even had said that on my Instagram. I shared that a 39 week pregnancy photo and said, you know, I have all of next week planned. And I did. I had out a whole plan for the week. I had to get some videos shot to finish up. I mean, obviously had to is relative because I didn't and it's totally fine. But I had a plan all the way through Friday, and then I was gonna have the baby somewhere around there, probably over the weekend, which as I'm shooting this, it's not even the weekend yet, so I did not make that. So Monday night, overnight, I had five-ish, that's just an estimate, contractions that woke me up, but nothing consistent or regular, just probably about five random contractions that whenever I woke up, I thought, those were real. I know the difference between Braxton Hicks and real contractions because obviously I've had so many kids. And whenever, it's hard to describe, but with a Braxton Hicks, at least for me, my entire uterus clamps up, like it just cramps actually, gets really tight, the whole thing. And then with a real contraction, I find that it's lower and it feels more like a pulling, more like, I don't know, it feels more like it is opening up the cervix and then it wraps around to the back. It doesn't just stay in the front. And so that's what it was. In the morning, whenever we woke up, we were kind of going about our morning and I casually mentioned to Luke, oh yeah, I had five contractions overnight. And he was like, what? Why didn't you tell me? And I'm like, well, they've stopped. There's nothing going on now. And he's like, yeah, but every time that happens, you go on to have the baby, which is totally true. There's always these few morning contractions, stuff stops, and then it starts back up. But I've never had real contractions that don't lead to labor within a day or two. I've never had the prodromal labor or anything like that. If I feel a real contraction, I pretty much know that labor is going to happen within the next day or so. I went about my normal day, milked the cow, came in and did the girls' math with them. I took the younger boys while Luke did the older kids' other schoolwork after that. The younger boys and I cleaned and made lunch and all that kind of stuff. After lunch, we sent all the older kids outside and we put Daniel down for a nap. Luke and I went out to the cottage. I started decorating. He hung a mirror I needed him to hang for the video. I needed him to get the mantle done. A whole bunch of last minute things so that I could decorate it like I needed to for the video. Around 2, I didn't say anything to Luke, but I started noticing contractions coming on again. And nothing at all that would make me stop or pause, just noticing it. My strategy for labor is to ignore it and not tell anybody about it and just let it be something that isn't a big deal for absolutely as long as possible. It is my strategy with all my kids and it has served me really well. I just try to make no big deal about it so that mentally it's not a big deal. Around 3:30, Luke took all the kids into town. He had to take the older girls somewhere and I needed to get that video shot. So, because at this point I hadn't had a quiet moment. We were working in the cottage. The kids were outside playing, the little boys in the morning, so there hadn't been a moment where I could sit down and talk to the camera. And so around 4, I sat down in the cottage to film the video. Through this, I'm still having contractions. I haven't timed anything yet, and I don't think that they were super regular, but I can't be sure because, again, it was just something I felt but wasn't timing or acknowledging too much. But I started to think, okay, you know, I probably should get a few more things done because I'm partially in denial. There's the part of me that's there's no way I'm having a baby already. But then the other part of me is okay, but you know this, you have never experienced contractions and then not had a baby either that night or the next day. So I'm kind of rushing a little bit. Around 5, I come in from the cottage and I have to shoot one final recipe for a 3-fall 1-pot meal thing that I have coming out. And I had the other 2 already shot. So I needed to get that one loose end tied up. And also I needed to make dinner. So that worked great. Around 6, Luke came home with all the kids and I was finishing up dinner. And then I said to him, oh, the contractions are still coming. And he's like, still? You haven't said anything to me since this morning about the 5 random ones overnight. And I'm like, oh yeah. Well, they started around 2 and they haven't been consistent, but I think I should probably start timing them. So around 6:15, I looked at the clock and I said, okay, I just had one, let's see. And the next one was 5 minutes later. And so I'm like, oh my, that's really something, because with Daniel, my previous birth, my contractions never did get closer than about 10 minutes apart. And it took forever, but they were 10 minutes apart for 48 hours. And then I had 2 contractions close together and he was born. So I never did get the close duration of 5 minutes. My 3rd born was actually born in the van because my contractions never got closer than 5 minutes and the midwives want you to wait till that. So it's a normal pattern for me for that not to happen. So whenever I noticed that they were coming 5 minutes apart, I was like, oh, this is serious. Still at this point, at the 6:15-ish, when I started noticing 5 minutes, they still were not contractions that I needed to pause or stop. Well, I paused, but I didn't need to lay down. I didn't need to really stop talking. They were still very mild at that point. I mean, strong, but not ones that took all of my focus and attention. Around that same time, around 6:30, I waited to see if I was gonna have more 5-minute apart contractions. So around 6:30, when I clearly was, I texted the midwife for the first time. I told her, hey, I'm having labor signs. Nothing to be alarmed about, just saying, I might be calling you later. I didn't tell her I was having contractions. I just said labor signs, for whatever that means. So she said, okay, well, I'll get my ducks in a row. And if you call later, great. If not, great too. So just kind of a warning. The one midwife lives a half hour away and the other one lives more 45 minutes away. And so I thought, you know what, if I get them all ready, then if I call them, you know, I only have to call them a half hour in advance. That's good. So around, I think shortly after that, we sat down to eat the dinner. And as I was sitting there, I didn't have any contractions. And I'm like, ugh. Of course, I text the midwife and then nothing. But when I stood up, of course, they started coming again, which happens to me with all of my babies. They say that it's not real labor if they don't keep coming while you're sitting. It always is for me. And it always is to where at first I need to keep moving to keep the labor going. And then at some point it completely shifts and I can lay down and they come no matter what. But I was not at that point yet. So around 7, I took all the boys up to go to bed while Luke went and caught the cow for evening chores. And I was still having him. I was sitting there reading a book on my boy's couch, and you know, I'd pause a little bit to have a contraction. Around 8, I came downstairs from putting the boys to bed and I started doing dishes. Luke was like, hey, I can do that. And I'm like, I know, but right now I need to keep moving because whenever I lay down, it slows down. And so we're gonna just keep this going. As long as I can move around, I'm going to. And then at some point I won't be able to, and that's when we'll, you know, we'll cross that bridge when we get there. At this point, I started to need to lay down during contraction. I remember I was sweeping the floor, and then I just kind of threw myself down on that ruggable rug that I have by the kitchen sink and had a contraction, got back up, did more dishes. In that stage of labor, this is probably like what I would call like middle labor. There's early labor where you're just going, and then there's middle labor where I can move in between, but then I need to relax. And then there's like the end of labor where I don't even get up at all, because if I do get up in between contractions, then I can't get fully relaxed like I need to on the next one. And so I was at that point. And actually, I'm thinking back that I actually kind of missed something. Whenever the boys were still awake, I did come into the bedroom each time to have the contraction. I forgot about that. I said I didn't have to lay down, but I actually did, or at least it made it better if I did. So I guess probably from around 6:30 through 8:30, I was having the kind of contractions where you get up in between them, lay down while you're having them, and then just kind of back and forth. Around 8:30, I decided to take a quick bath. Just wanted to clean up. And then I also have been told by so many people that water is great for contractions. I had one contraction in the water and I was not a fan. Now, I didn't have a birth pool. So I know that the difference between like a clawfoot tub and a birth pool are night and day. And I actually had debated in the days leading up to birth whether I wanted to actually switch the plan and do a water birth. I've never done a water birth. I'm so into the Bradley method. It has served me so well. And so in the Bradley method, there's this certain position, like it's a very specific position that they get you in order to relax. And I just don't want to experiment away from it because it's worked so well. But I thought, you know, I'm not in this crazy part of labor yet. I'll just try it in my bathtub and see what the hot water feels like. But I wasn't able to get relaxed enough. Like I could relax, but I couldn't make everything so loose and limp that I could ride the wave better. And so that contraction that was in the bathtub, I was like, all right, I'm out of here. I got to get into my bed now. And so I got out of the bath pretty quickly, got dressed as quickly as possible so I could get to the bed again. I didn't want to have another contraction out of bed. And around 8:40-ish, I called the midwife, and I looked back in my phone to kind of get the details straight. And we talked for about 4 minutes. So I talked through a few contractions. I told her, hey, I feel weird calling because, you know, there's this part of me that says, you're still fine. You're totally talking through contractions. Every time I have one, I relax and they're totally fine as long as I'm completely loose and limp. But then there's the other part of me that's like, but you know how this goes. I have never had a birth where the midwife is there for more than like a half hour to an hour. And so I know that in the back of my mind that it seems like I'm calling too early, but I'm totally not. And so I was like, I'm gonna force myself just to do this because I feel like I shouldn't call her yet. But then like the person in the back of my mind is like, no, you need to call him right now. And so she said, well, I mean, you do sound fine, but this is your 7th. So maybe we'll just come if you have a place that we could rest, maybe a couch or something. So if, you know, if it's not progressing like you think, maybe we'll just kind of just, you know, lay down, take a nap in the other room. And I'm like, all right, you know, that's a good plan. Let's just do that. And I felt, you know, comfortable finally knowing that I made the call, because throughout pregnancy, there's always this, am I going to call them in time? Because I have did have one child unassisted because I didn't call the midwife in time. And then I've had four home births where I did call the midwife in time. And it's just a really hard, really difficult call to make, no matter what. I felt good knowing they were coming. Interestingly though, after I called her, I was at the point in labor where I didn't want to get up. I decided that I was settled in to the bed at this point. And I laid there and I'm like, oh my goodness, now I'm not having any contractions. I probably was just psyching myself up a little bit, thinking I called too early. And I laid there for probably 7 or 8 minutes. I didn't look at the clock, but it was a while that I was laying there, no contractions. And then one came, it was really strong. And I'm like, nope, I called in time. That was good. I'm glad I called. And then I got the thought, oh, I never did make the bed like I was supposed to. Because when you're in labor, if you're having a home birth, you do a fitted sheet, a shower curtain, and then another fitted sheet so that you can have the baby and then they peel back the sheet and the shower curtain and then you're laying in a nice clean bed. And so I'm like, oh shoot, I gotta do that. And so I had a contraction, I popped up, grabbed the stuff, Luke came in and helped me, we made the bed really quick. And I mean, whenever you're standing, or at least for me, whenever I'm standing at that stage of labor, the contractions come really quickly. So we hurried up, got the bed made. I laid back down because I was instantly having another contraction, probably just like 2 or 3 minutes later, or however long it took to make the bed. Now, at this point, I still would not consider what I was going through to be pain. And in all honesty, it was very intense. And I use the Bradley method. So if you're someone who's wanting to plan a home birth or any kind of natural birth, hospital, whatever, I actually did have a natural hospital birth using the Bradley method as well. So it works for home birth. It works better for home birth and birth center because the hospital isn't all that comfortable, but I did do it and it worked out great with my second child. The point of the Bradley method is you train yourself to relax really deeply. So there is a very specific position they give you where every part of your body is equally supported. You have your knee and your foot on this pillow in a certain way, and this arm is bent slightly so that it isn't tense, and this arm is bent this way. It's just designed so that every part of your body is supported, not straight out, not tense. And the whole goal through all of labor is just focusing on relaxing. So you just go deeper and deeper. Your whole goal is you're thinking about relaxing more and more. And in my previous births, I would say my first three natural births, I studied that book back and forward. I practiced relaxation every night from 20 weeks on. This birth, I seriously got the book. I somehow misplaced mine. I probably gave it to a friend. And so I ordered the book at like 38 weeks. I did like crunch time reading the relaxation section. That's all I read. Because I know the other stuff is all it's second nature to me at this point. But I would recommend reading the whole thing, Natural Childbirth, the Bradley Way. If you do decide you want to have a natural birth, being prepared it is so necessary. But anyways, I did like 3 nights of practicing the relaxation, read the relaxation section, that was it. I basically crammed, but I was still able to do it during labor. I really was. I was a little nervous that I wasn't going to be able to do it because I didn't practice very much, but it does come back at this point. It's pretty second nature for me. And the other part of Bradley, and this is really important, is you learn what is happening in your body. So instead of feeling like it's this crazy, intense, something that has no purpose, you're actually picturing the uterus itself. Like in the Bradley book that I like, they have a diagram of the uterus where it shows the muscles that go around and the muscles that are elongated. And it explains in detail what is happening. And during the contractions, I picture that. And so in my head, I'm like, this is, I know what's happening. My uterus is literally pulling open my cervix. That pressure that I'm feeling is the baby descending. So I can picture where it all is, what's happening. And that actually helps ridiculously a lot because instead of it just feeling like pain, it is, it's feeling like you know what you are feeling. You understand that it's all part of the process and you can picture what is actually happening. And so it's not as scary. And whenever you remove the fear and the tension, it really does a lot. Now, I probably should go into more of this at the end of the birth story. So that way I get on with the story. I will say also, during my crunch time week, so 39 to 40, I read my Bradley chapter on relaxation, did my few exercises, and I listened to tons of positive birth stories.
I take great care in my home to source products that are healthy, natural, organic, that will promote overall health. Alongside cooking from scratch, there are some foundational things like clean water and clean air that are as important as any of these other things. Americans take about 20,000 breaths per day and spend an average of 90% of their time indoors. My kids, they spend a ton of time outside, but I spend a lot of time inside cooking. I try to keep the window open, but still, the indoor air that we breathe can be up to 100 times more polluted than outdoor air, according to the EPA. Indoor air pollutants can cause respiratory symptoms like sneezing, congestion, scratchy throat, and even more serious health problems like lung and heart disease. So what is the solution for this? I want to tell you about this podcast sponsor, Air Doctor, the air purifier that filters out 99.99% of dangerous contaminants so your lungs don't have to. This includes allergens, pollen, pet dander, dust mites, mold spores, and even bacteria and viruses. We have an indoor cat, we have pollen, and who knows what else around our house. So this just gives me peace of mind knowing that running Air Doctor will get rid of 99.99% of dangerous contaminants. Air Doctor comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee, so if you don't love it, just send it back for a refund minus shipping. Head to airdoctorpro.com and use promo code Farmhouse and you'll receive up to $300 off air purifiers. Exclusive to podcast customers, you will also receive a free 3-year warranty on any unit, which is an additional $84 value. Lock this special offer by going to airdoctorpro.com and use promo code Farmhouse.
One of them I actually listened to Tuesday, the day I had him, was on the Happy Home Birth podcast. She had someone on called Talisa, I believe that's her name, the Home Birth Queen. And she has a book. If you look up the Home Birth Queen, you'll find her. But she has a book. I didn't read the book or anything. I actually had just heard of her on Tuesday whenever I listened to the birth story. But she had something she said during all of her births. She describes all of her births as painless, which is crazy. This birth that I just had with him is the first one I would probably almost fully describe that way. She said something that really stuck with me and I kept repeating it. But she said, this is power. During her labor, she would say, this is power and pressure, not pain. And so I kept picturing this uterus with these insanely strong muscles and the power of those muscles and how they're pulling. And it is, it's really powerful. The uterus is, I don't really know if this is a true fact, but it is probably the most powerful muscles in the human body, man or female, I don't know. But it is such a powerful, as Bradley Method calls it, bag of muscles. And so I kept saying to myself, this is power and pressure, not pain. And it really helped because I was picturing what was happening. So anyways, with that being said, I laid back down. I kept having contractions about 9:40. I saw headlights coming up the driveway. And at that moment, my water broke. And so that was the midwife pulling in at 9:40. And my water popped and I was like, oh boy. Cause at this point I was still questioning how far I was in the process. But if my water breaks with all of my kids, it is not long. I mean, it is very soon. It actually, with most of my kids, it happens just minutes before birth. In this case, it was a little longer, but not much. So she pulled up at 9:40, she walked in. I said, my water just broke. And Luke said he actually heard it. So I got that little shower curtain on just in time. Well, within probably a half hour of the water breaking, and I would have completely ruined my organic mattress and everything. So glad I got that on. And she said, oh, okay. Because at this point, you know, all she knew was I was still questioning whether I should have called her and whether she needed to come here and take a nap. I texted my sister. I've never had her at any of my births, not because she doesn't want to, but because I just like to have like hardly anybody here. But once my water broke, I was like, okay, this is happening really soon. She lives close. She would love to see her nephew or whatever, nephew or niece be born. And so I texted her, I said, water broke. And then she said, oh my gosh, soon. And I said, you're welcome to come if you want. And she just was like on it. She was buzzing over here as fast as she could. So she came in around 10 o'clock. And the other midwife also got here around 10 o'clock. And pretty much within minutes of them walking in, I looked over at both of them. I kind of waved and smiled. And I said, I think I need to push already. And they're like, what? You look like you were sleeping this whole time. And I'm like, that's how I look in labor because I'm doing the Bradley method. So I'm not sleeping, but I also don't vocalize. And I know from listening to all those birth stories during my crunch time week, that is not the norm. I think most people do, but I don't. I really truly do look like I'm sleeping through my entire labor. They said, you look like you were sleeping. And I was like, I know, maybe I shouldn't be pushing, but I am. And the midwife was, of course, like, well, if your body is telling you you need to push, you probably do. I was laying on my side and she goes, is that what's comfortable for you? And I kind of was like, I don't think I said like anything to her. I was like, nothing's comfortable. I'm pushing on a baby. But I didn't really give her an answer because I just figured I would get in whatever position worked for me. I did one push on my side. I got up to my hands and knees. I did a really large push. They said, oh, there's the head. And I, you know, obviously I felt that. And then I pretty much had the head out within like a minute. And then I didn't even wait for another contraction because I just wanted to get it done. And so I just kept pushing and he slid out. And it was just like the most calm birth I've ever had. I would say it was the most close to Micah's birth, which I shared his birth story on here as well, because I had a YouTube channel at that time. The difference with Micah's birth is that I always, up until this birth, I am able to relax and cope really well the whole labor up until transition. And I pretty much decided that there's really no way that you can relax during transition. During the transition of this birth, I was laying there probably around, I don't know, 9:30-ish. Well, no, not quite there. I would say it was probably closer to 10 o'clock that all of a sudden you start getting these contractions that they're so powerful. They feel like they like lift you off the bed. And you always have, or at least I always have that moment where I'm like, okay, I can't relax any longer. This is, you know, there's no possible way. And this time I started to have that thought. And then I thought, I'm going to relax. And so I kept doing my Bradley method. I tried to like visualize what was happening, sink deeper into the bed, relax further. And then the next contraction, it was the pushing one. So I'm like, I think I just relaxed through transition. And I think I could almost call what just happened to me painless. I'm like, wow. So that's the difference. With Micah's birth, it went pretty much the exact same, down to the few contractions overnight, then no contractions all day, and then the exact same length of the active labor. The only difference with Micah's was that I was not able to relax during transition, which, you know, it still turned out to be a beautiful birth, and I didn't have any regrets with it. But it really was interesting to see that I could do it during this one. I just kind of decided I did not want to have that panic moment at the end. I just didn't. I was a little bit fearful going into this birth because I've had such, honestly, straightforward births that have pretty much followed a similar pattern to this one every time. And I just thought, okay, this is, at some point, something, you know, maybe the position won't be right or something, because they've been, I mean, Daniel's was definitely harder. It was a lot harder, and I couldn't do the Bradley method because of positioning. But I was just a little bit nervous that something like that would happen, because I don't know, this one felt like a free pass. Like, it was just so beyond easy for birth. I mean, of course it was intense and there was all that power and pressure, but it was, after I had him, I'm like, that was it? I can't believe that. So yeah, it was everything that I'd hoped for. Super easy. You know, if you can call birth easy, I guess that's really not the right word. It was just way better than I expected. With Daniel, the one previous, he was my first natural birth that I couldn't do the Bradley method on because his position wasn't right. And so they had to get me in a certain position in order to bring him down properly. And whew, so for all you mamas who, you know, you can't just lay there and fully relax for labor to progress properly, and you have to actually like do things to make the baby get into the right position, which I witnessed with my sister twice. A couple of her births were not anything remotely what I would call easy. Those babies had to be, you know, it required her to really, really work to get them out. They did not just, like when Laura, my sister, I told her I was gonna record my birth story. She was like, what are you gonna say? I was in labor for 2 minutes and then the baby popped out. I'm like, well, no, there's more to it than that. But hers required a lot more work. And I did witness that with Daniel, and I had to labor in positions that were not conducive to relaxing and having a pain-free birth whatsoever. And so that happens, and that is just something that you have to be prepared for. But I kept telling myself throughout this pregnancy, no matter what, even if it's a birth like Lara's where, you know, I have to, they just won't get in the proper position, and the midwives have to like get me here and there in order to get the head down right. Or like Daniel's where I have to labor in transition with my chest on the bed and my butt in the air, and it's like horrible. No matter what, there's always a victory on the other side of it, you know? So I kept thinking, no matter what happens, I will get through it. I will have a new baby on the other end of it. The last birth story I listened to before I actually had him, because I was just in this, like, I'm listening to all these home birth stories because this is my crunch time of preparing my brain, was my friend Elizabeth Parsons from Purely Parsons. She had a surprise twin home birth, and I was listening to her story, probably still at, like, I had my earbuds on and I was listening to birth stories at like 8 o'clock that night. And she has a birth affirmations resource on her website. And so I Googled that and I was like reading through all these scriptures and the birth affirmations. So like I said, very crunch time on all of this. I literally pulled up some birth affirmations at like 8:30 at night and I had them at 10:10. I don't know. It was just kind of an unbelievable birth because I was very thankful for the just how well it all went. He was 8 pounds and 10 ounces, 20 inches long, so kind of chunky. I was very surprised. I felt smaller this time. I don't know, I had so many people tell me that I looked tiny. I didn't feel like I looked that tiny. But no, he was a good sized baby. My last baby, Daniel, was 7'13". All the boys before Daniel were like him. They were 8'7", 8'10", 8'13". So it seems like that 8.5 pound is what most of my babies are. But Daniel was smaller, much harder to birth, which by the way, if you have it in your head that, I don't know, when I had my first baby and she was 6'15", people were like, well, that was probably easy. Like, no, she was sunny side up. It was not. And so I think if you've ever had a 5 pound baby and it was very difficult, don't let anybody not validate your experience, because it really, the weight to me does not matter. I even had a baby with a really huge head and it wasn't harder than my first that was tiny. So anyways, I had the baby at 10:10. My oldest daughter was still awake. She heard the cry, came down, met her brother. The midwives were really into teaching them like so many things. So they were showing them the placenta and the little tree of life, they like to call it, on the placenta, and where the baby was and the cord and how it has the three, whatever, I don't know. They were explaining it all. The three veins or whatever. Clearly I didn't read much up about this. They were showing them the newborn exam. So they were going through and like looking at every part of him and explaining it to the kids. So it was a really neat experience. Kids all went to bed around midnight. The midwives left around 1. Then around like 3 in the morning, My fifth child, Micah, came down. He likes to get in bed with us. And, you know, he's always half asleep. He just jumps in and goes to sleep. But he was like, baby? Because I had just put him to bed, pregnant, obviously. And I go, yeah, Micah, where did the baby come from? And he goes, out your belly. So he sort of understood. He'll be four in December. He had so many questions. Both of my five or six and three-year-old boys, they just, I guess, think all babies are girls, even though we've never had a girl baby, and neither has my sister since they've been alive. But they keep saying her and she. And so Micah kept saying, her ears so little, her nose so little. Let me see her little feet. Like he had so many questions and comments. So we were up from about 3 to 5 and then he went to sleep. I don't think I got much sleep that first night, but obviously I just stared at his little face and, you know, you can't hardly sleep after having a birth and then processing it. I'm laying there. I'm like, okay. I was in denial that I was even in labor literally 5 hours ago. And now I'm just laying here with a baby. And so you just can't go right to sleep, you know? You gotta just reflect. And I was thinking back about the whole birth and thanking God for such a just peaceful experience. And he was awake for a while, so I was just looking at him and it was sweet. I highly recommend home birth. This is our, I guess technically fourth home birth. I sometimes say fifth because my third child was born in the van. We were going to a midwife birth center, didn't make it. And then so the other four after him, I decided to just forever and always just not go anywhere during labor. So there's our story. I have just been laying here in bed ever since. Honestly, I've gotten out and ventured to the kitchen just a few times, and for the most part, we've had so much help. My mom and my sister brought food. They took the kids. We're gonna get them all back today, but just been Luke and I hanging out, and then he'll mostly do all of the chores for at least a week, and then usually after a week, I start doing like a little bit of things, like a little activity, but I like to lay pretty low for 2 weeks, and then I lay in bed for a week. So I pre-recorded some videos. Go ahead and watch my video this week. I have one coming out where it was supposed to be called Nesting. I kind of changed it to get it all done because, I don't know, the storyline didn't line up because the birth story was supposed to come out after that, but then he came early. I know 2 days early probably doesn't seem very early to some of you, but to me, it's quite early. All right, well, thank you so much for following along with this pregnancy, for all your prayers and well wishes. I shared some pictures over on Instagram and here on YouTube, and you all are just so sweet and supportive. And so I'm really thankful for that. Thank you so much for stopping by the farmhouse.